Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2, familiar passage of Scripture, but don't let the familiarity of it rob you from the blessing that you might get if the Holy Spirit points out something new to you from it. As I mentioned the last couple of weeks, the Gospel of Matthew was written to the nation of Israel, to Jews, to show that Jesus was the promised King, the promised Messiah. And so, as I mentioned last week, I think, Matthew quotes more Old Testament prophecies than the other three Gospels put together. And in Matthew chapter 2, we actually have the fulfillment of at least four Bible prophecies. And people living in Jesus' day, as they put these prophecies together, they might have had a hard time understanding how one person, especially a little baby, could fulfill all these prophecies. But the prophecies I'm talking about is the one from the book of Micah, when it says he was to be born in Bethlehem, the one in the book of Hosea, where it says that he would be called out of Egypt, the one in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah prophesied there'd be weeping in Ramah, and then in the one in the book of Isaiah, where it says that he would be called a Nazarene. And so he was born in Bethlehem. Why was there weeping in Ramah? Of course, we know the answers to that because we know the next what's going to happen next. We're not going to get to that tonight. But Ramah was as far north of Jerusalem as Bethlehem was as far south. He was going to be called a Nazarene, and yet he was born in Bethlehem and was called out of Egypt. And again, I'm sure there were people that lived back in Jesus' day that said, how can one person fulfill all these prophecies? They just don't seem to go together. And yet, the events occurred in a natural, normal way. I mean, looking back on it, we can see easily how one person can fulfill all those prophecies. Many prophecies about the second coming. And there are some people today that might question, well, how can all these be true? I mean, how do they all fit together? We don't have to worry about how they all fit together. God fits them together. And when it happens, it's going to be just as natural and normal as the prophecies of his first coming was. So, chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I want you to just notice a couple, three things from that verse. The wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, which means they were traveling in what direction? West. Okay? So they came west. Now, we always assume, or at least I guess I'll just confess what I assumed, I always assumed that they came from the same place. But as I've studied, Bible scholars say that's not necessarily true. They could have come from many different places in the east, met up along the way, and traveled together. It says they came in the days of Herod the king. This was Herod the Great. Herod's family was the first century mafia. Okay? Now, most of you are old enough to know what I mean by mafia. Some of you might be too young. But they were the first century mafia. Herod had bought his position from the Romans. And he was probably the most wicked and evil person in his family. And notice what this verse says. There came wise men. It doesn't tell us how many there were. I mean, some people say, well, they presented three gifts, so there must have been three of them. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three gifts, three wise men. We sing the song, we three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we've traveled afar. And in Christmas cards and manger scenes, what do we see? We see three wise men. In all probability, there was more than three. We're going to read in a minute that when the wise men came and asked the question, where is he born king of the Jews, it troubled Herod and it troubled all of Jerusalem. I think if there was only three, they might not even got Herod's attention. But if there was 300, now again, I don't have any biblical basis to know how many there were, nor is there any biblical basis to assume there was only three. But if hundreds of wise men showed up in Jerusalem and asked a question, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We saw a star when we were in the east, and we've come to worship him. I dare say that Herod and a lot of other people in the city would have taken note and been a little bit excited about this group of men that came to Jerusalem. So they said in verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Again, so they were in the east when they saw the star. They didn't see the star in the east. If they would have traveled east from the east, they would have ended up in India or China. So they saw the star when they were in the east. They traveled west because they saw this star. Now, the book of Daniel talks about the timing. It prophesies the timing of the Savior's birth. But it doesn't say anything about a star. Do you know that the only prophecy in the Old Testament that links the star to the king, to a coming king, is in the book of Numbers, and it comes from the guy that whose donkey talked to him, Balaam. Okay? It comes from Balaam. Let me read that verse to you from Numbers 24:17. And this is Balaam talking. Now, this is after he had already blessed. Remember, the king of Moab called him to curse the Israelites. And God told him not to go. And the king of Moab said, "Well, I'll pay you really well if you come." And so he went back to God and said, "Well," God said, "Well, okay, go, but I don't really want you to go, but you can go. But don't say anything I don't tell you to say." And you remember on the way, his donkey tried to stop him, and he beat his donkey, and his donkey ended up talking to him. And the amazing thing of that story is that Balaam talked back to the donkey. But after he had blessed Israel three times, and the king of Moab said, "Well, I'm not going to pay anything." Well, Balaam said, "Let me tell you what's going to happen." And in one of those verses, he said this, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob." Again, Jacob is another name for the nation of Israel. "And a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." Of course, a scepter is a symbol of a king. They hold that to designate their power and their right to rule. And so what Balaam was saying, hey, here's what I see in the future. There's going to be a star, and that's going to mark the birth of a king. And so they came and they said, "Hey, where's he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star and are come to worship him." So these wise men, I think, were not only students of the book of Daniel to know the approximate time that Jesus was coming, but they were also students of this prophecy in the book of Numbers that says there's going to be a star that will indicate that the king has come. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him." So when he heard, hey, there's wise men here. And again, I don't know how many there were. I sort of think there was more than three. But there was enough to get Herod's attention. And when he heard why they'd come, the Bible says he was troubled. Now, he was troubled because he didn't want any competition. He had paid for this position, and he didn't want somebody to be born, a king, that was prophesied that he was going to come to upset what he had going. But it says not only he was troubled, but all of Jerusalem with him. Now, why was all of Jerusalem disturbed? Well, they were the establishment. They had made their ties with the Romans, and they were reaping what they could gain from that political arrangement they had with the Romans. And a new king, if he came, would disturb and disrupt all that they had set up. And so, not only was Herod troubled, but many people in Jerusalem were troubled as well. Verse 4, "And when he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." So he called the chief priests and the scribes. The scribes were the experts in teaching and interpreting the scripture. And so he said, and again, he didn't ask, he demanded. He said, hey, you guys are supposed to be the experts in the scripture. I'm sure your scripture tells you where this king's going to be born. I demand that you tell me. Now look at verses 5 and 6. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now here's the amazing thing. They knew the answer to the question. They didn't have to say, hey, king, let's go check and we'll get back with you. I mean, in the same audience with the king that the king asked the question, said, well, we know the answer to that question. It comes from the book of Micah. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. But here's the sad thing. They had an academic knowledge of where the king or the Messiah was going to be born, but it didn't mean anything to them personally. You would think that at least one of the priests or one of the scribes or more than one would say, man, if this has really happened, we're going to go with you. We want to see the king. I mean, he's our king. I mean, it's our scriptures, it's our oracle, so to speak, that his coming was prophesied. So before you leave, let us saddle up our camels. We want to go with you. Nobody went with them. They had a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge of the scripture. It makes me think, you know, many people today are looking forward to the return of Christ. I wonder how many would say, if they hear the trumpet blow and they hear the shout come up hither, might say, Lord, could you give me a few more days? Could you delay it a month or so, month or two? There's still some stuff I want to do. We're looking for it, and we say, like the Apostle John, come quickly, Lord. But I wonder how many of us would say, hey, and I hope we all can say, I'm ready. If he came right now, so be it. So be it. Verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So he had a private meeting with the wise men. And he pressed them. He said, tell me when you first saw this star. I want to know exactly when you first saw this star. Many Bible scholars don't think the wise men showed up in Jerusalem until a year after the star appeared. And Herod wanted to know. He said, I need to know exactly when you first saw this star. Now, we're not going to get to it till next week, but we know why he wanted to know. He's going to tell the wise men, you go look for him because I want to go worship him too. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. And again, we're not going to get to it this week, but when he discovered that the wise men didn't come back and tell him where Jesus was, he sent his soldiers to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. And again, he cast a wide net. The wise men told him, well, it's about a year. He said he didn't want to take any chances. He says, well, double that. And he described this whole area from Bethlehem at the south to Ramah in the north. And that's why there were weeping in Ramah. And we'll read the verse next week. Because all their children were killed. And so he pressed them, you tell me when the star appeared. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So he sends the wise men on to Bethlehem. When you get there and you find him, come back and tell me, because I want to worship him too. Now, if Herod had just sent his soldiers, he said, hey, the king's born in Bethlehem, go find him. They would have never found him. They would have never found him. Herod was sneaky and subtle. He said, the best way I can find him is send these guys. They'll find him. They'll come back and tell me I can go kill him. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, I think they'd traveled a long way. I agree with those that say the star had probably appeared a year ago, and the wise men were showing up in Jerusalem a year after Jesus had been born. I think there was a period of time they saw the star. They saw it was that it was in the western sky, and so they headed west, and they headed toward Jerusalem. Where best to look for the King of Jews, and then the capital of the Jews, Jerusalem. But I think at some point in the journey, the star disappeared. Otherwise, I mean, if the star was always in their sight, why would they rejoice with exceeding great joy when the star appeared again? I mean, if it was always in their sight, I mean, if they never took their eyes off of it because it was always there, there'd be no reason for them to rejoice. It always had been there. But when the king told them, well, in Bethlehem, that's where the scholars say Jesus was born, they headed toward Bethlehem, and as they headed toward Bethlehem, the star appeared again. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, not the stable behind the inn, but when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So the star led them to Christ. By this time, the census that had brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem was long over. Many of the people that had come to Bethlehem to pay their taxes and to register had returned home. Because Jesus had just been born, Mary and Joseph probably decided that it wasn't wise to try to go back to their home. So they said, we'll just stay in Bethlehem for a while until our little baby gets a little bit older. And again, he was probably a year old at this time. And then we'll go home. And so they saw the young child with his mother, and the Bible says they fell down and worshipped him. You know, if there ever was a time that Mary should have been worshipped, it was at this time. But these were wise men. They didn't bow down to worship Mary. And again, I don't take anything away from Mary. She was a wonderful, pure young lady. But she was a sinner, just like the rest of us. She had human blood coursing through her veins because she had a human father. She had a sin nature because she had a human father. No person deserves our worship. Only God deserves our worship. And so they fell down and they directed their worship toward the young child, Jesus. And they presented their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, it speaks to Christ's second coming. Let me just read that verse to you. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. The gift of gold is a gift that you give to a king. So the gift of gold was presented by the wise men at his first coming and at his second coming when he comes back the second time, because he was king both times. The gold of frankincense or incense speaks to the kind of life that he would live. He lived that life the first time. He will live that life the second time. The spice that's missing the second time is myrrh, because myrrh was a spice they used to anoint the body of dead people. When Jesus came the first time, he came to die. But when he comes the second time, it will not be to die. It will be to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 12, and we'll end with this one tonight. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The wise men assumed that Herod was sincere. Oh, here's the Jewish king. He wants to come and worship the new king that's been born. And I'm sure they were ready to go back and say, hey, we found him. Here's where he is. Here's where you can find him to worship him as well. But in a dream, God came to the wise men and said, don't go back to Herod. And again, I don't know how detailed the dream was. I don't know if God explained to them why he did not want them to go back, or if he just said, hey, don't go back. Just don't go home. A different way. And they listened to God in that dream, and they left for home another way. So next week, we're going to look at the angel coming to Joseph and saying, hey, you need to get your family out of here. And we're going to look at what Herod did when he realized the wise men didn't keep their end of the bargain to come back and tell them where Jesus was. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer.